Welcome to the Bill Cartwright Show with mental health therapist and sports psychologist, Bobby Hallback. Bobby, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Coach Cartwright. I appreciate it. It's a pleasure to be back again.
You know, it's just always really important to have not only good health, but good mental health, and especially in sports, because when you're dealing with people, and a lot of people, at the same time, to be able to identify them and some of the issues that they have. A basic question, what is really mental health for us, you know, basically people that don't know anything? What is mental health?
Okay, so like mental health basically is about our thoughts, our behavior, and our actions. And our emotions are connected with our thoughts, actions, and behavior. So the way we think, the way we act, the way we respond based on certain elements, based on certain situation, provokes a certain reaction. So either we're in a good mood or a bad mood. The majority of the time with mental health is based on what we see and what we perceive and what we interpret it in terms of what can trigger someone's feelings and emotions to be able to let them know that they may be bothered emotionally and physically. But once again, your thoughts, what you think, what you believe in, dictates what you respond to in terms of your mental health. So it's the way we think, behave, and respond and act.
When somebody is unwell, how do you know that, as opposed to somebody just having a bad day?
In terms of that, it's a pattern determining how long this behavior or this disposition or this behavior that you able to notice that may not seem to be normal. You kind of get a feel for like body language, face expression, their reaction to questions, how they interact and socialize with other individuals. It becomes a pattern. So you look for a pattern. But if you need to go further into understanding what's causing this issue, you do like assessment, clinical interview assessments to kind of get a better understanding of why this person may be behaving that way. It also can be based on being traumatized. It's a duration of trauma. Trauma experience also can allow someone to show maladaptive behaviors that we can see. So based on their body language, face expression, and their communication also indicate there may be some type of concerns in terms of someone not being on a normal spectrum.
Now, you're coaching this year, which is, of course, I think is pretty super cool. Now, are there any, and you're coaching not really young kids, but young kids. Is there any common problems that younger kids have in their teen years?
Yeah, in terms of me coaching middle school basketball, that's the time frame where the kids are trying to identify themselves, like crisis identity, dealing with socializing, being a part of a group, fitting in. So they have this commonality as like trying to identify themselves as an individual and also as an athlete. And they're trying to figure out their goals and identify in terms of what they want to do, what they want to pursue. But in terms of being an athlete, you know, there's a lot of stress that comes with it, anxiety, worration. Am I able to play? Will I be able to make the team? Will I be able to do what the coach is asking me to do, meeting the demands and the expectations of the team? So there's a lot of stress and anxiety that comes with that. And then if a player don't have that skill set, you know, they become more depressed or they get low self-esteem. So low self-esteem also impacts the player's perception in terms of what they're trying to go and how they're going to get there in terms of being an athlete. Because every athlete has a different skill set, so every level changes. So in terms of that, the low self-esteem can impact their mood and their behavior and also impact their practice performance as well as, like, game performance. So the common ground is more anxiety, stress, and depression, and then also with the low self-esteem.
We'll go back to that. Now, talk about this. How do you deal with kids? And you can see this at USF. How do you deal with people who have some anger issues?
Well, the first thing you do is just kind of build that rapport, trying to get a better understanding of where the anger is coming from. what build up, what transpired, the day before or that same day, what led up to that anger. It can be a history of anger that build up, or it can be something that happened throughout the course of the day, or could it be something that took place in practice. So we try to identify what led to being angry, what made you upset, what made you mad. So once you build a rapport with the athletes, student athletes, they become more trustworthy of that individual, of that coach, and then you can build a better get a better understanding of what caused them to be upset, what caused them to be angry. And then it can be a learned behavior, based on anger from family settings or personal life experience. Majority of the time, something build that anger to where they're not able to control it. So anger will show more than being able to express where the anger is coming from into after the fact.
Talk about another thing that's really super important, anxiety.
Oh yes, sir. Anxiety. Anxiety is where we kind of try to feel our mind and our body of understanding where the anxiety is coming from. So anxiety can be based on a genetic, biological, then it also can be based on your experience or your anticipation, your build up. Being worried. Worry leads to anxiety. If I'm going to perform well on a test, am I going to perform well in practice? Am I going to perform well on the basketball court? Am I going to perform well in life itself? And sometimes we build anxiety from inside out. So it's the anticipation or the unknown factor that can lead to worry, which worrying is part of anxiety because you get anxious. You're not sure how things are going to turn out. So in our mind, we tell ourselves, I'm going to do bad or I'm going to do good. So if we tell ourselves we're going to do bad, that's another way of building up that anxiety, which causes an individual to lose sight of their goal. And then you try to figure out where it's coming from. Once you identify where the anxiety is coming from, then you try to get them to understand some techniques, relaxation technique, deep breathing techniques, like taking 10 breaths, counting to 10, meditating, closing your eyes, visualizing yourself being calm and relaxed. So based on the anxiety, it can come from different surfaces, but at the same time, the goal is to identify. The more that you can identify anxiety, it helps get a better understanding how to work through that anxiety.
I think as far as common people, I'm not sure I can identify somebody if they're have anxiety or if they're depressed. What do you deal with if somebody's really depressed?
Okay. For to understand if someone depressed or someone having anxiety, the best thing to do if you're in that circle or you're aware of that individual, you can speak to them personally, one-on-one, asking, are you okay? If there's any concerns or anything that's bothering you, we talk about emotional concerns. So the emotional concerns of like what's going on up top, like in the mind, what caused you to feel this type of way, what leads you to feel this type of way. And body language indicates if you're in a good mood or you're in a bad mood, if you're down, if you're sad. Because we can learn about face expression, how you feeling. When you feel happy, you got excitement. If you feel down, you may look like you're down or you don't want to be bothered. So for my personal experience, I always try to operate based on body language and face expression. And then that kind of indicates how to me determine what I want to say or how I want to approach that individual. But there are assessments tools that you can use to like a liking scale, like 1 to 10. You asking about how you feeling, how your appetite. How you sleeping? Is there any problems that's going on in your life, outside of your life? So those are like indicators to help individual identify what may be bothering or what may be troublesome to that individual to feel anxious, to feel down. But majority of the time, you can read by face expression or body language, but at the same time, we use a lot of assessment tools like questionnaires to gain a better understanding. As you know, coach, not everyone gonna confess and say, I'm feeling this way. Or I'm feeling this way, or I'm feeling down, I'm feeling up, I'm feeling bad. So to take out the guessing game, you try to do assessments, like using assessments, like a measurement tool to kind of get some indication of what's going on.
I think the hardest thing as a coach is to be able to identify all those different things. Like, I would not know if somebody's bipolar. What does that mean?
So if someone bipolar, they basically have ups and downs. Ups and down. If you bipolar, you got bipolar one, bipolar two, and determine how that individual may be bipolar is the best thing to do is get assessments, do like a clinical interview screening. You ask questions, you run them through different types of testing just to identify what caused them to be bipolar. Because, yeah, we won't be able to tell somebody bipolar just by looking at them. So we have to do like more clinical interviewing, going through a screening. So you have depression screening, you have anxiety screening, and these are questions that you just generally ask yes or no. And then you have what you call an interview based on psychological testing in terms of developing a better understanding of what causing these individuals to feel a certain way. But you're right, coach, you won't be able to look at someone and say they bipolar. You know, but it just depends on the behavior, how drastic their behaviors are.
So I've been fortunate. It's funny when I count them. I've had, like, at USF here for 4 years, I had 24 different teammates. When I was in the NBA, I had probably almost 140 different teammates. What do you tell your players, your young players? How are you, and why are you a good teammate? What makes a good teammate?
Good question. First of all, you got to be unselfish. You know, you got to be unselfish. You have to be respectful. You have to be accountable. You have to be dependent. You have to be willing to work together to make a teammate, to be a great teammate. But also holding your teammates accountable. Excuse me, coach, holding your teammates accountable. So being unselfish, determined, dedicated, hard worker, and willing to be a part of a team, you know. So that's like leaving your egos out the door, and just being supportive, yeah, and showing compassion, being, you know, humble. Humble is a main important thing of being an athlete too. You have to humble yourself as well.
Now, this is going to be a big year for you. Besides winning, what is the goal for your team? What would you like your team to become?
I just want them to become well-rounded student athletes. I want them to learn about why academics is important, why being a part of a team helps you learn how to work in society, not just being on a team on a basketball court or a football field, baseball field, but it helps with knowing that you can work together to get to reach a common goal, you know. So my goal is to just help them be more responsible student athletes, but focusing on academics and then knowing that basketball can take them different places, but that's not the way that we're going to look at basketball as being like, oh, we got to be a part of a winning team. I just wanted to learn about the basics of being unselfish, being a great teammate, being responsible, and just being a student first, you know, putting the academics first, and being someone that's going to be involved with the community, going out and helping the community, holding someone accountable if they're not an athlete, you know. So those are the qualities that we're looking to build and instill in the youth that we are coaching right now.
This last question is going to be a little bit tricky. What do you do for a kid who is just not good? He's just incorrigible. So what do you do with that kid? Because obviously you don't want to give up on him, but what do you do with this kid? He's just a troubled kid.
Well, that's a good question, coach, because in the process of trying out, we had like 40 kids that came out. And obviously, in the midst of 40 kids, it was already bothersome for me to be able to say, I got to pick 12 kids out of these 40. And out of those 40, I had a kid that recently came to our school, but he had a background already, a behavior background. So right off the bat, myself and the assistant coach, we was talking and discussing along with the academic counselor and the assistant principal, like, do you understand his background history? Do you understand his severity of behavior issues? I like, yeah, but I'm willing to give him a try. So, you know, I brought him in. We still tried to work with him. And just before the break, he done some thing to get himself in trouble again, because I already reminded him, like, I'm here to support you, but at the same time, I have a duty that I have to fulfill as a counselor and also as a coach. So, and then I gave him an opportunity to be honest and upfront. He decided not to. So on the back end of that, he had gotten some more trouble. So that bothered me, because he got the potential to be a good player, but he have a lot of issues going on prior to coming to the school. And I was just willing to work with him. But when he sat there and just blatantly just told me a lie, it was like, I can't see myself sacrificing and advocating for you so much when you're not able to be honest. And honesty is the main thing as well, coach. So I had to just like let him know, like, look, you can't be a part of the team because you have so many issues and behavior. But I overlooked that. But I brought you in just to give you a chance. But you turn around within a day and you disappointed me. So I just had to let him go. But now back to kids that don't have the ability and the skill set, those are the kids that we proud upon. Those are the kids that we want to be able to work with to build them up, to help them grow, to help them become a student athlete, give them the tools that they need to build their skill sets from jump shot, layups, ball handling drills, shooting drills. So yeah, coach, I see that as a challenge, but I love that type of challenge because that really helps me understand if I'm making an impact in those players' life, you know, in terms of building them up. Because I look at it, if we can build them up as athletes, we also build them up as young men, responsible young men. So I take that challenge. Yes, sir.
Coach Bob, now Coach Bob, thank you so much for being on the show. This is so helpful
Yes, sir.
because it is such a big issue to be able to deal with kids, to be able to help them along their life path. It's a real calling, and I congratulate you. Wish you guys a lot of luck. I'm sure you'll do really well. And thanks for being on the show.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Coach. My pleasure. Anytime. I appreciate it.